That is Bacon and Cabbage, in honor of our guest by phone today, John Herod, an acclaimed musician and fiddle scholar who's doing a program for the McCracken County Public Library called Explore Kentucky's Diverse Fiddling Traditions. And this is your life, isn't it, John?
Well, pretty much. It has been even more so since I retired from teaching, and I've had a lot more time to follow this.
Tell us about this track that we're listening to, Bacon and Cabbage.
Well, that was by Blind Joe Mangrum, who may have the distinction of being the oldest, or at least the earliest, born fiddler to ever be recorded. He was born in 1852, which would make him probably the oldest person to ever be recorded playing fiddle music. He was a violinist and a fiddler, but you really could consider him, although he played light classical music as well as the old country fiddle tunes, you could probably consider him more of a fiddler than a violinist because, of course, being blind, he couldn't read music. And so he, although he sometimes played with orchestras and he played classical music, it was all by memory and by ear. So quite an interesting person, but he spent a whole lot of time in Paducah. And Nathan Lynn, who works in the archive at the McCracken County Library, has dug up a lot of old newspaper clippings about all the times Blind Joe played in Paducah, as well as his obituary. And he was very helpful to me in coming up with some more information about Joe Mangrum. Mangrum eventually ended up on the Grand Ole Opry in 1928 and moved to Nashville, and that was the year he made these recordings. There were two sides that were issued and two more that were unissued, and that Bacon and Cabbage, which I think is a version of the old standard fiddle tune Katie Hill, was one of those recordings.
So that was in 1928, recorded in 28.
It recorded in 1928. Yeah.
Wow, amazing! I was interested in telling you that Tracy Ross has hosted Nathan Blake Lynn with his original Western Kentucky music, and we've had Josh Coffey playing fiddle on the air just recently as well. So It's been a pretty big celebration here of this tradition. John, before we play another piece of music, I'm fascinated with your background. Apparently, you had to be a Rhodes Scholar and go to Oxford, England, to really kind of own your interest in old-time string music. Is that true?
I guess, like a lot of people, I had to go far away to come back home. I was already messing around with the guitar and the mandolin and the fiddle a little bit in high school and college, and I was more into bluegrass music then, and spending a couple of years in England, I think, was my first introduction to the older music that predated bluegrass. And of course, the music that you were hearing in the pubs over there at that time was, a lot of it was ancient, of course, the music of the British Isles, and there was already a big revival of interest in that going on at the time. And so I started, when I came back to the States, I was more attuned to that, and I got interested in the music that bluegrass grew out of. And of course, you could say bluegrass came from Western Kentucky. Bill Monroe was really put together a lot of different elements of American roots music to create this synthesis that we called bluegrass. And so from bluegrass I kind of evolved backwards, and I ran into an old African-American fiddler pretty soon after I moved back to the country, and of course he was an old-time fiddler of the old school, out of a family tradition from a little black community called New Liberty in Owen County, where I'm living now. And so I moved up to Owen County to be around him, and then we started traveling around the state. We formed a group, some young guys my age, fresh out of college, and this old black fiddler, and we played around through Kentucky and adjoining states up until Bill died, and through that I began to meet a lot of other old musicians of Bill's generation, and so that kind of became my great love for the rest of my life.
It's a fascinating story. Let's listen to another Blind Joe Mangrum piece, okay? The Bill Cheatham, just a bit of it. That's so much fun, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Interestingly, that tune, he probably got that tune from Arthur Smith, who was also from Tennessee. The reason those Western Kentucky Fiddlers, the only reason they ever got recorded was radio station WFIW, I think I've got that right, Hopkinsville, sponsored a barn dance on the radio from 1927 to 1933. And the Jeanette Record Company and the radio station sponsored a big fiddling contest or band contest, and the winners got to go to Richmond, Indiana to record for the Jeanette Company in 1930. And Arthur Smith was one of the contestants who was not invited to record, and yet he went on to become the most famous fiddler of them all and had a long career on the Grand Ole Opry. But he didn't win that contest, and so he didn't get to go to Richmond, Indiana, and record at the time. But that was a tune that was associated with Arthur Smith, and Mangrum must have learned it from him either in Nashville or maybe during that contest.
That is so full of our region. I can't believe it. That I don't know if anybody else in the room knows about this before this moment. Maybe some of our listeners do. Listen, I want to ask you about, has your working life been, I understand that this is your personal passion, but have you been a folk artist in residence at schools for the majority of your life?
Oh, no. I did that for 3 years before I was married and settled down. But then when I did get married and settled down, I moved back to Owen County, and I was a high school teacher for 24 years.
And all the time collecting music.
In Owen County and Frankfort High School.
Okay. Sorry for interrupting. But you kept a massive library of recordings, right?
Yeah, I did, and I was playing with a couple of different bands during all that period. I always had a band or two or three that I was playing with, and so we always tried to do a lot of Kentucky roots music, and I think, in fact, we kind of distinguished ourselves from other bluegrass and old-time bands by doing pretty much Kentucky music from different periods. And so we always did some bluegrass, but we also did a lot of the old stuff and a lot of fiddle tunes. So I think we were always kind of unique in that regard.
Now let me get you to talk a little bit about this piece that you sent me from 1930, the Madisonville String Band with B flat rag. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
Okay.
John, that just engenders a feeling of being in a dance hall and watching everybody hugging each other and sashaying, yeah. Doesn't it?
They kind of had a different sound in Western Kentucky. A lot of people never paid much attention to Western Kentucky. There was this myth that all the true traditional music was found in the Appalachian Mountains, but of course anybody that lived anywhere else in the South would know that music was scattered throughout the South, and in fact probably anywhere in the United States in that era you could have heard music, ethnic music that represented the culture of the people who had settled the area, but Appalachia got all the attention. But yeah, there was quite a lot going on down in Western Kentucky, and of course what fascinated me in recording and digging up old recording myself, and then digging up old recordings of this indigenous music, was how everywhere you went there was a different sound. It was just completely different, and you from those bands that recorded at Jeanette, you could kind of generalize and say they were a little more uptown than some of the stuff that got recorded from the eastern part of the state. It was more kind of a big band sound. They had a bass fiddle and often two fiddles and sometimes two guitars, and they seemed to prefer a lot of rags and marches and waltzes, a little bit more highbrow music. And just the fact that those guys, the Madisonville String Band, they were playing that tune in B-flat, that suggests a level of musical sophistication that was not always there for a lot of country fiddlers. So it was a unique sound.
Now, I think we ought to cut to the chase with another very unique sound, the final piece of music that you sent. By the way, we are speaking with John Harrod, who is a musician and fiddle scholar, and he's presenting a program March 21st, 7 p.m., second floor meeting room at the McCracken County Public Library for their Evenings Upstairs series. So we're going to listen to this one. Just tickled me. I when I got it, John, I was so delighted. And let's listen to it.
The sound effects are pretty amazing.
They are pretty amazing. This is Ted Gossett's band.
This whole idea of musicians imitating animal sounds, dogs, mockingbirds, mules, that goes back to the British Isles. But most old-time fiddlers had a fox chase of some sort where they would imitate the hounds, but they were all different. The tunes they would play would be different in these fox chases, but as long the only thing they had in common was they would imitate the hounds, and certainly this Ted Gossett piece is the king of them all. Just awesome. He was from Muhlenberg County.
No, he wasn't.
Yes,
that is
he was.
So neat. I just can't believe this piece of music, and I thank you for bringing it to our air today, John, and I hope that all of our listeners will make a point to be with you when you're in Paducah at the McCracken County Public Library again. Is that next Thursday? I believe it is.
Next Thursday, yes it is.
7 p.m., second floor meeting room, Evenings Upstairs series presents John Harrod, acclaimed musician and fiddle scholar in a program of our diverse fiddling traditions. John, thanks for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.